I wasn't here last week. I was on holiday, which was very enjoyable. But I've heard so many positive comments from last week and your time together on generosity and the great job that Len did. So for those that were here, how has it impacted you this last week? Has it got you thinking about generosity? Has it got you acting in a more generous way in some way? I hope it has, because yeah, so many positive comments during the week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you give us. Thank you that it all comes from you. So help us to be generous with what we have, knowing that it is yours and comes from you. And knowing that you have given us so much, especially in your Son and the forgiveness of sin, we pray that we would be people who are also generous. And as we come now and we think about technology, we ask that you would teach us your ways, that your ways would be our ways. Amen. Well, it is a little bit funny that I'm giving a talk on technology. Who's laughing? Who's that? That's Nigel. Because, yeah, I would say I am a little technologically challenged. It's always been that way, and I think it always will be, and I blame my parents. I think on our street growing up, we were the last family to get a VCR. A mobile phone. I didn't get my first mobile phone till I was at college. And that was only because a mate gave me his old one. And if he didn't, I'm sure I would have one by now. So, I am a digital immigrant, and I'm proud of it. Now, this is going to be a little bit different, this sermon today. So, kids are in, it's going to be a little bit more interactive, and kids, I am going to need your help, because you do know a lot more about this than I do. My 9-month-old niece, she taught me something, a feature on my phone that I didn't know existed. She's 9 months, so can someone ring me? Someone. We'll see who rings. Not everyone, but someone, whoever wants to. And we'll see what happens. Wow, anyone. And why need anyone's phone? All right, here we go. All right, so I'm not going to answer it because I can't. That would be rude, but I'm going to send a message. Here we go. So, someone's going to get this. And I didn't answer my phone, but I've sent them a message. And have you got the message?
Yep.
What's the message?
Can't take a phone call at the
moment. Oh, okay. And a text message?
No.
It should. Yeah. All right, so it's come through, right? Yeah, so I was able to send a text just by hitting a one button. My 9-month-old told me that. Isn't that amazing? So, kids, I need your help this morning because there are so many more things that you know. It's on silent now, so if you do ring now, it's not going to be heard. All right, so kids, especially if you're in years 3 to 6, so if that's you, I'm wondering if maybe you just put your folders down and just be with us for the next little while and see how you go. So we're thinking about technology, and we're asking, how does God want us to use technology? So can I get everyone to stand? That's it, everyone to stand. Kids too, that's the way. Alright, so if you were born in 1980, or more recently than that, you can stay standing. Everyone else can take a seat. Alright, so every child, yeah, is standing. So you are digital natives. You were born into a digital world. The rest of us, we weren't. So, of those that were standing, I need three of you to come out the front. And I need three digital immigrants, that's everyone else, to also come out the front. Alright, so, alright, we'll go one, two, okay, and three. So, alright, so these are the, you're a native. Alright, so we've got, if natives can come over here, just on this side. And three digital immigrants. So that's people who took a seat. So, yeah, you can come out as well. And, yep. Alright. I don't want to name you. We're just going to have a little quiz, that's all. Alright, and one more immigrant? Yeah. Oh, you can both come if you like, because the natives have four. Alright, so we're going to have a little quiz. I'll ask a question. And if you think you're not, you just call out natives. And if you think you're not, immigrants. And Adam's going to keep score. So he'll work out what he does, maybe 10 for a right answer. At any point he doesn't like something, he might deduct some points. We'll see. Alright, so if you're not, just call out natives, immigrants. The first iPhone became available in what year? This isn't easy. Alright, they want a choice. Was it A, 2004? Was it B, 2006? Was it C, 2007? Or D, 2009?
Immigrants.
2006? Ba-boom. 2007. Alright. Bad luck. Alright. Alright, this is true or false? Oh. Maybe start them on 100, because we don't like negatives. Alright, true or false? Nintendo was founded after the year 1900. True, no, that's false. Nintendo was actually around in 1889. Yeah. Alright. IBM was a well-known computer company. What does IBM stand for?
Immigrants.
Correct. Well done. Okay. Nano, Shuffle, Classic and Touch are variations of what? Oh, immigrants were first. Yeah, iPod. Yeah, iPods. Okay. Alright, no multiple choice for this one. Facebook began in what year?
Immigrants. 2008.
Alright, 2008 isn't correct. But it's close. You want to have a go? Facebook, what year did it begin? Russ isn't too young. No, it is 2004. Yes, well done, Jessica. All right, the printing press came to be in what century? Paul, was that... He's going with the 15th, and he's right, the 15th. I'm not going to make any other comment. Alright, now my USB here has 8 gigabytes. What do you reckon this disc has? Like, it's bigger. Got it. 8 gigabytes? Alright, I'll give you a clue. It's megabytes. How many? 3.1, around that. 1.44, but it's pretty close. So you could probably put a photo on this. All right. In what year was the first car driven in Australia? The first car driven in Australia. No answer. Any takers? 1895. All right. So I'm going to give multiple choice. 1895. Do you think that's correct? 1900, 1905, or 1910? 1905. All right. It's 1900. Okay. A couple more. Which console is the biggest selling? A. Sony. Oh, all right. You just want to answer. You don't want choice? All right. They're saying Xbox. I'm going to give you the three choices and see what you reckon. A, Sony's PlayStation 4. B, Xbox One. Or C, the Wii U. So you're going Xbox, you're going the Wii, and it's Sony PlayStation 4. All right, multiple choice. The World Wide Web was invented in what year? A, 1999. B, 1989. C, 1909. D, it has always existed. Yes? 1909. No, it's 89, so no correct answer there. All right, last one. What is ELO? What is ELO? E-L-L-O. Oh, wow. So no takers. Anyone else? What is ELO? Yeah, Anna was the first hand up. No, but good try. Yeah. Nicole, no, but good try.
It's a new way to
share. Yeah, so a new social network and maybe rival Facebook. Yeah, but you haven't heard of it. See, I'm up on it. But you can only get in if you get an invite. No one's invited me. Steve, zero. So who won? The immigrants? The immigrants won, I think. No, I didn't win. All right, well done. Give them all a clap. Okay. So technology is a big part of the world that we live in. And there's no avoiding it, really. Right? Technology is all around us. Question is, how does God want us to use it? So I got a three-part answer for this question. And for it, we turn to the Bible. Now, you might think, really? That's a little bit strange. We're talking about technology, and you want us to turn to the Bible, to a book written 2,000-plus years ago. But this is God's Word. So whenever we want to ask a question about how does God want us to think about X, of course we want to turn to God and see what He says about the subject. So the first of my answers, how does God want us to use technology in a way that glorifies Him? Or if you like, in a way that pleases Him. But what does that look like? And that's where answers 2 and 3 are going to help us a little bit more. But we're going to have another activity. So this is where you need your red and your green card. So everyone needs it. So if you don't have one, Nigel is going to give one to you. So if you don't have a green and a red card, just put your hand up and Nigel will give it to you right now. All right, these colours They have nothing to do with a certain football team. I'm going to give you a statement, and you are either going to put your red card in the air or your green card in the air. And green is for good, and red is for bad. Okay? So, we'll have a practice. Summer. And you've got to make a decision. It's the green or the red. So we'll try that again. Summer. No mouse. Okay, so the green, the good, win out there. Okay, so the real thing now. Technology. Yeah, okay, interesting. Television. Jet planes. Flat pack furniture. IKEA. songs projected onto a screen. The printing press. Minecraft. Introducing rabbits to Australia. Windows 8. Facebook. Facebook on the smartphone. Reading the Bible on the smartphone. Yeah, okay. Very good. Alright, so there were lots of green there. A little bit of red for some of them, but overwhelmingly green all around. So far, we've just said, how does God want us to use technology? In a way that glorifies Him, and there is a verse, which I skip. Can we go back to that, Adam? Alright, so a verse. So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whatever we do, and technology comes into that, we are to do it for the glory of God. And now, with all these examples, we've seen, we've just said that on the whole, we're saying technology is good, but there was some red in there as well. So maybe it can be good, maybe it can be bad. So that last one, reading the Bible on an app, I saw overwhelmingly green. I think there was one red, maybe. But it is good, isn't it? It means your phone is always with you, which means God's Word is always with you, and you can read that. But I reckon that's one where I could say green and red. That it could mean that you're reading the Bible in church on your smartphone, which is fantastic. But then, you've wandered off and now you're checking Facebook. But that wouldn't happen here. Or you're sending a text. So it is good. It is good. We got the Bible with us. But it also means the phone is a cause of distraction. And it means that we can be easily distracted once we're reading it on the phone and then we're off doing other things. So this brings us to our second answer. How does God want us to use technology? Answer two, in a way that is for good and not bad. Or adding to answer one, technology can glorify God, please Him, if it is used for good, not bad. So let's go back to creation. That's always the place to go. Whenever we want to ask a question about what does God want us to think about a certain thing, remember, the place to start is to go back to creation and to think about what creation teaches us. So we're going to go back to Genesis 1, back to the sixth day. Hannah's going to come up and she's going to read from Genesis 1, verse 24. So everyone else might like to turn that up in your Bibles, whether that be the printed press version or your app version.
God said, I command the earth to give life to all kinds of tame and wild animals and reptiles. And that is what happened. God made every one of them. Then he looked at what he had done, and it was good. God said, now we will make humans. They will be like us, and they will let them rule over fish, the birds, and all other living creatures. So God created humans to be like himself. He made man and woman, gave them the blessing, and said, have lots of children, fill the earth with people, and bring it under your control. Rule over the fish in the ocean, the birds in the sky, and every animal on earth. I have provided all kinds of fruit and grain for you to eat, and I have given green plants as food for animals, both wild and tame, and all for birds. God looked at what he had done, and it was all very good. Even came then morning, and that was the sixth day.
Thank you. Well done. All right, so some have said what we have here, this is the first job description. People, men and women, were told to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And very soon, there is technological progress. In Genesis 4, there they start to build a city. They forge all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. They make musical instruments. This is good, pleasing to God. This is how someone else puts it. They say, in Genesis, God gives us what we might call the first job description. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. The first phrase, be fruitful and multiply, means to develop the social world, build families, churches, schools, cities, governments, laws. The second phrase, subdue the earth, means to harness the natural world, plant crops, build bridges, design computers, compose music. Technology, it's that our creative ability which God gives to us, to each one of us, to use what he has given us to share his creation for good practical purposes. Using what he has given us for good practical purposes. So like nuclear power used for good to give us power, electricity for our homes. But we live in a fallen world, don't we? Genesis 3 speaks of sin entering our world. So technology can be used for good or for evil, like nuclear power, used for nuclear weapons and nuclear bombs to destroy our homes. So let's take another example of this, thinking about the good and the bad, the benefits, but also the costs. So we will, as an example, we'll take my iPhone, a smartphone. So as a piece of technology, there is nothing wrong with this. You might say there is, it's an iPhone, but leaving that aside, as a smartphone, nothing wrong with it, can be used for good or for bad. It can bring benefits, but also costs to our lives. So what I want you to do, I want this half of the room to think about what is good about this, how we use it for good, what are the benefits of a smartphone. And then this half can think about what's bad. What are the drawbacks with a smartphone? So I'll give you 60 seconds. You can talk to the person, the people around you. The good, the bad. Okay, I think that's a minute. Alright, let's hear just a couple of responses. So we'll start with the good, the benefits. What are some good things, Tim? Alright, so yeah, instantly you can be in touch with other people. So very convenient.
Navigation.
Yeah, navigation. So yeah, it can help you around with the GPS and everything like that. Rachel? Yeah, okay, yeah. So, safety reasons, yep, we make that call. Hannah? So there are games and other activities on a smartphone. Yes, Carol. Yeah, so very quickly, yep. Google away and you've got the information there. Yeah, so it's a camera as well, and then it stores your photos and videos and lots of good things, all the different apps that are available. I visited last Sunday morning, I was at Foster Presbyterian Church, and there they had a guy who has been developing an app. He's been in India, and he's now developed an app. These people, they don't have God's Word. They don't have much. But all of them have a smartphone. So now they're getting God's Word through this app. They can't speak English, but it's now being translated into, I think they were the Eldaki people. So it's a good thing there. All right, let's go with the bad, the drawbacks. What are the costs involved? Yes, Anastasia. Thank you. I was close. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you can waste your money buying this app and that app that you don't really need. Yeah. At a click of a button, money gone. Addiction. Yeah. So you can be addicted to the smartphone and all these so-called benefits can actually be an addiction. Yeah. Yes. Vanessa. Yeah, that's an excellent answer. So, yeah, I'll repeat it. So, we said it like a good thing, you can have the Bible on your phone, you're reading the Bible, you come to a really important part, but then your phone starts ringing. You're now distracted, and you answer, you can't help it. You take the call, and then you're distracted, you've been stopped from reading God's Word, and you might come back to it, but then you've sort of lost your train of thought and where you are at. So that's an excellent answer. All right, distractions. Not only addiction, distractions as well. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Road accident. But you don't use your phone while you're driving. Oh, other people. Okay, yeah. Because we can't take it out of our hands, we might be driving and we might... No, we wouldn't do that. But yes. Yeah, antisocial. So you're with your friends talking, but no, you're with your friends on Facebook or something. But they're right in front of you. Antisocial. Yeah. Okay. So, and I'm sure you can think of lots of other ones as well. So the problem is not technology. It's what we do with it. Right? It's how we use it. So as Christians, we want to ask, is my use of it, is it good or is it bad? What are the benefits it brings? What are the costs, not just financial, what are the costs that are involved? A guy confessed to me, had a chat this year, the problem for him with porn on the phone. And for him now, it's become an addiction. So that is a big problem. Now, he knows it's wrong. He acknowledged it to me. Wants to do something about it. But the thing is, it owns him rather than him owning it. He's not in control. it is now in control of him. Right, that's what sin can do to us. It can master us. And this brings us to our third answer. How does God want us to use technology in a way that you own it, it doesn't own you? And we're going to read from Romans chapter 6.
Romans chapter 6, 8-14. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Thanks. All right, so let's think about this, what we just see here in Romans 6, and apply it to Facebook. So, who uses Facebook? Okay, that's about half the room. That's pretty good. Maybe just over half. Okay, do you own it, or does it own you? Right? Is it the last thing you do before you go to bed? Is it the first thing you check when you get up? If you are married and that's what you're doing, is that a good thing for your marriage? Technology, Facebook's an example. Take whatever example you like. Do you control it, or has it got control of you? Has it become an addiction? Or is it something which is good and useful? How does God want us to use technology? In a way that glorifies him, pleases him, in a way where it is used for good, not bad, and in a way where you own it. It doesn't own you. So there is an answer, which has really just scratched the surface of this subject. And one last thing for us to think about. Screen time. What does screen time look like in your home? Whether it's the television, the iPad, the phone, the tablet, whatever device it is. And how much have you thought about this as a family? What is good and helpful and what is not? And what parental controls or security settings are right or appropriate for you? I read an article last week where it quoted Steve Jobs from a few years ago, obviously. He said, we limit how much technology our kids use at home. Right? Steve Jobs, the I-Man. He said, we limit how much technology the kids use at home. Right? At their dinner table, no eye products. It wasn't a rule. They just did not have the need to have an eye product in their hand all the time. They were around the dinner table. They were with their family. So that meant it wasn't a rule. They just did it. They related as family. Alex Constantinople is the chief executive of a big tech company. For his five-year-old, there were no gadgets during the week, Monday to Friday. For his 10 and 13-year-old, 30 minutes screen time a day for non-schoolwork. If it was schoolwork related, then I think they could have a little bit more. But he says, rule number one, no screens in the bedroom, period, ever. The chief executive of Twitter has no time limits for his children. Unlimited use, but only in the living room. Alright, I don't know if these guys are Christians. For us as Christians, how are we thinking about this? Because we need to think about these things so that we are going about this in a godly way, which is going to be healthy for us and for our family. So as Christians, use technology. Yes, of course, use technology. Just use it well. All right? Think about what it is doing to you so that you own it, it doesn't own you. And maybe this is a way. Don't be an enthusiastic embracer where you have to be the first person to have it. All right? But at the same time, don't be a strict separator where you won't touch it. Alright, what we need to be a disciplined discerner. Alright, use it, but in a disciplined way and think about what are the benefits, what are the drawbacks, and what is this going to do to me? Think, does it glorify God? Am I using it for good? What are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? Do I own it, or does it own me? Before Russ comes up to pray, we are going to watch a short video.